I don't know if everyone understood the questions. There was a it was translated. Okay. First, on the question on Mexico, there is this unique opportunity right now in Mexico, because in 2012 there was an addendum to the constitution which explicitly recognizes the human right to water as a constitutional right. And within that constitutional modification, there was a request made to the parliament to issue a new water law, a new water code. And actually, I came from Mexico, but I'm leaving again next week. I'm moving, I'm going again there. Last week I was at the invitation of the National Human Rights Commission. Next week I'm at the invitation of the National Water Commission. And the National Water Commission was the body that was responsible, is responsible for the implementation of the former water law. And what is very interesting is that there has been, and we had nothing to do with that, an incredible civil society mobilization in Mexico to draft a shadow law, model law, on to replace the water code. And they took inspirations from the South African water law. They took inspirations from, and they went to different countries to say, well, what are the best laws existing using this human rights-based approach, fighting for human rights? And what we are moving to is that the next week, it's actually a meeting with parliamentarians to discuss the model, the law as it is currently designed, and discussions. And so it's going to be very a lively process. So, but that's at the legal level. But already in itself, you need to be informed about all laws and policies that are currently shaped at your country and individual country's level. Because if you don't know which laws and policies are shaped, you cannot influence them. And you need to be able to access them. You need. I recall a case in Benin. It was back in 2010. And there we fought. We went to speak to the president of the national parliament and asked him publicly, because he was very proud to have representatives of the Dutch Cooperation Agency and international NGOs. Okay, so Your Excellency, we would like to make sure that in the Law Commission, representatives from the National Civil Society can be present, and listeners and observers, to make sure they have their word to say. And of course, in front of the camera, he said, of course, and he kept his word. And that's fantastic. But this is just to say that I don't see my role as the one who is going to be doing the work. I can't do that. And the organization can't do that. But just to say that when there is this willingness of civil society organizations, it can change. And regarding the justiciability, well, this is a huge process to move towards that justiciability. Two examples I would like to share with you. The first is the capacity building of parliamentarians. And that's where we, for example, I briefly mentioned that you saw it perhaps on the website, it's the legal database on the human right to water. This legal database is actually an effort to screen existing national laws according to the, right now, 8 to 10 individual criteria of the human right to water. So accessibility, affordability, help me out, I'm tired. Accessibility, affordability, the quantity aspect, the quality aspect, the acceptability, then access to information, participation, remedy. So to review existing national laws to do this gap assessment. And this is not WaterLex. This is a network of already 12 academic institutions. And the idea is to create a global social network of academic legal practitioners to review existing laws. So that's what the gap assessment. And then when you have that gap assessment done in terms of the justiciability reality on the ground, and you can do that for any human right, you have to move to, okay, who are the decision makers to make change happen? And that's where you start engaging with the parliamentarians. And the second, the parliamentarians, and that's the trainings that that we push for, and national human rights institutions. Don't underestimate them, even if they are very political, even if they are often political bodies named, mandated by parliaments, and therefore highly politicized. They have a key role to play to be this quasi-judicial body that can already provide a preliminary access to justice for many individuals. And in Mexico, you have, of course, the state national human rights institutions and then the federal one. So that's where we see an opportunity to build their capacity as something unique, which can then be moved to true accountability in national courts. But let's not forget that national human rights institutions are for free, and people don't have to pay to submit their complaint, and courts are very, very expensive. So the justiciability in courts, that's another story.